Joining me now on the phone is Republican State Representative David McSweeney of the 57th District. He's from Barrington Hills, Republican. And Representative, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Good morning, Rick. That was a good Blackhawks victory on Thursday night. Even though we're in the cellar right now, I feel that was a good win before the All-Star break.
Yeah, we still have a couple of games in hand compared to some of the other teams, but we still have a lot of work to do, and I hope we can continue it. What irritated me the other night, the Hawks win 5-1 against Detroit in Detroit. Of course, it was the Sunday before I went to see the Hawks play Detroit, and they lose 4-0 at home. So why couldn't they have done that when I went to the game? That was my question.
Well, we still have a lot of season left, and hopefully go to a couple more games, Rick. I mean, get in at least barely make it in the playoffs, and then who knows what could happen from there.
I don't know if I want to go to any more games. I might be the bad luck charm if that's the case. Well,
I think we're going to make the playoffs, Rick.
Okay. We'll see. I'm not so sure, but I appreciate your optimism, because I always think of optimism when I talk to you, Representative, because there's...
Well, I appreciate that, Rick. and in Springfield, unfortunately, there's not a lot of optimism that people look to this year, but we need to do our jobs and need to focus on what the people of the state want, which is to reform spending and get rid of some of these taxes. But thanks for having me on.
Well, there's so many things to talk about. I mean, so much in the news. I mean, last week, for example, Comptroller Susan Mendoza notes that the state, through its budget stalemate, incurred over $1 billion in late interest penalties for not having a budget, for not paying its bills on time. And that's $1 billion. I mean, that's $1 billion that's just right out the window.
You could take that money and take it out on Michigan Avenue and just burn it, and it would have the same impact. And that was one of the biggest mistakes that Governor Rauner made, is not focusing on a budget day one, a budget that would actually cut spending. And, of course, we need economic growth, and I support workers' compensation reform. Of course, we need to cut property taxes. But all that happened is we incurred $1 billion of late interest penalties. The $16 billion unpaid bill balance peaked out, and then we just issued more debt. So when people talk about the $8 billion unpaid bill balance now, we didn't reduce the overall debt. We just refinanced it at a lower interest rate. And I was a strong supporter, worked very closely with Comptroller Mendoza on the bill to actually require transparency. And the governor vetoed that bill. We overrode him 112-0 in the House, because we want the information. So we not only have $1 billion late interest penalties that we have incurred, but we also have $2.3 billion that was spent last year that was not appropriated. So that's another big problem that needs to be addressed. And I think that that Transparency Act is just a start, so we can get the information so we can focus on spending.
And nobody's really explained where that $2.3 billion that was not appropriated by the legislature, how it got spent.
Well, two areas. One is group health insurance, the health insurance for state employees. Since the governor's come in, there's been no reforms on that, and that's been a problem for years, even before his time. And then he spent money from the Department of Corrections that wasn't appropriated. And my biggest issue is that that was not publicly disclosed until the bond offering by the state of Illinois was required by law in October. So we went from the end of June until October without knowing that we spent $2.3 billion that wasn't even appropriated, in addition to all the other debt that we have in the state. And that's a number one point. I mean, we're going to hear a lot of political rhetoric, I'm sure, in the state of the state this speech this Wednesday. I want to hear a detailed plan. What is the governor going to do about the $2.3 billion of money that was not appropriated? I'm looking for a detailed plan, and we need to cut spending in the state.
Well, and you mentioned the state of the state speech coming up, and of course, that's kind of the predicate to a state budget address, in which the governor says that he's going to propose a balanced budget, that he's going to propose phasing down the income tax increase, but he has not really ever proposed a balanced budget.
And, no, he hasn't. And I think that's one thing that we need to see, a detailed plan. And the first year he came close, he was still off by $2 billion because his pension bill would not have realized the savings, plus it was unconstitutional. And the other 2 years, he just phoned it in. He said that we're going to rely on some kind of grand bargain. Remember, the grand bargain was a tax hike. That's what he was talking about. That was just a code phrase for, I'm going to raise taxes. So when I hear the governor talking about the tax increase, and as you know, I strongly opposed increasing the income tax rate by 32%, the governor had been talking about that for a couple of years. That was a big tactical mistake, I believe, in not focusing on the budget. The governor has enormous powers in the state of Illinois to actually not spend money. Just because the money is available doesn't mean that he has to spend it. But I'm looking for a detailed plan. The governor signed that Chicago pensions education bill. I call it a bailout for Chicago pensions because it provided even more money than he wanted when he was criticizing the bill. So we need to hear a detailed plan on how he's going to cut spending and how we're going to roll back these tax increases immediately.
Do you expect to see one?
We better. We're certainly not going to see it on Wednesday.
I mean, yes.
Well, given the track record, I wouldn't bet a lot of money because he hasn't proposed a balanced budget in the last few years. So that said, he should be held accountable if he does not propose a balanced budget as required on February 14th. And there better not just be a line that says, compromise, because in Springfield, compromise over the last few years has been, again, a code phrase for raising taxes. I mean, the real story, Rick, and you know this, is the money is in pensions and Medicaid. And in pensions, nothing's been done over the last a few years, and we have to address that point. President Cullerton has some ideas on reducing the 3% compounded cost of living adjustments in the future that I believe are constitutional. We can move people to 401ks. We've talked about this many times. We can reamortize the pension debt. And on Medicaid, that is an area that not only do we need to reform, but we need to have better accountability. There was a story last week, as you know, that the Auditor General did a report that said the administration had not properly monitored $7 billion of expenditure. So we need to completely reform Medicaid while protecting the needy in the state, but we need to reform those two big programs. That's where the money is.
So we've spoken about the governor's obligation in presenting a budget, but do you have any belief that the Democrats that control the legislature want to see a budget, particularly as we're in this, superheated election season?
Well, it's all about politics, unfortunately, right now. So the answer is probably not, and that's a disgrace, because we have over $200 billion of debt in the state. We have people who are leaving. We're now behind Pennsylvania in population. We're number six now. And a lot of that, I think, has to do with the tax burden in the state, with all the liabilities we're facing, the uncertainty that businesses face when they move into the state. So we should do our jobs, but it's a political year. I saw the Democrats watch that debate last week, and they're in an intense competition, Rick, to tell us who's going to raise taxes the highest. That's what it seems the competition is. I respect Senator Biss. Have a good relationship with him, even though I disagree with him on a lot. J.B. Pritzker and Chris Kennedy are all competing. Their answer is who's going to raise taxes, who's going to adopt the progressive income tax. That's not the answer, and I hope that the leadership in the General Assembly realizes that the people of the state have had enough of these taxes.
But isn't there a way to do a graduated income tax that could be done in a fair way, in your mind?
I don't think so, Rick, because one of the things we've seen and experienced in other states is that even when the initial rates are adopted, that the rates are always raised. And you see states like Connecticut and New Jersey that are losing people. And as you know, to approve a constitutional amendment in this state for a progressive income tax, they don't have the rates in it. All they do is say that you go from the flat rate right now of 4.95% to a graduated rate. So when people would vote to change the tax system, they wouldn't know the tax rates. That's one of the other big issues and the big problems. And again, we are losing people in this state every day I believe, because of high income taxes and high property taxes together, the combined burden, and you throw in the sales tax burden in the state, so I think it would be a disaster.
We're speaking with Republican State Representative David McSweeney of Barrington Hills. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin. Welcome back to the Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson. I'm speaking with Representative David McSweeney, Republican from Barrington Hills. Representative, as I've said, you're a supporter of Republican State Representative Jeannie Ives' challenge to Governor Rauner in the Republican primary. Last week she announced that, maybe a half dozen or so of your colleagues in the House also are supporting her candidacy. What does that say about the positioning of Bruce Rauner right now?
I think he has a big problem. I think he needs to explain to the people of the state of Illinois why he hasn't proposed a balanced budget, why we ended up with a tax hike. We had 71 Democrats and Pat Quinn as governor of the state, and we didn't have a tax hike. Under Bruce Rauner, we ended up with a massive tax increase. He promised to get us to a 3% income tax rate, and we're at 4.95%. And, of course, he signed a bill last year, HB 40, that we've talked about many times, that that provides for taxpayer funding of abortions with no limitations. And Henry Hyde, as you know, is from Illinois and destroyed his legacy. And it's also a situation that this is a governor who won't even mention the President of the United States. He won't say President Trump's name. So he has a lot of explaining to do, and there are ways I think that he could actually work with the administration. We talked about Medicaid. And there's actually right now a complete rewrite of the hospital assessment tax going on.
I'm glad you brought that up, because that is, and we've spoken about it on the show before, but this is actually becoming a very, very serious issue about the future of funding these safety net hospitals in throughout the state.
And it sure is. And not only is it the funding of the safety net to hospitals, which, of course, we need to maintain, but it's the split of federal funding. And, Greg Harris is a Democrat. I have a lot of respect. I disagree with him on many issues. But he has had many very innovative ideas over the last few years about ways to bring in more federal money. And you're dealing with the Federal Department of Health and Human Services. This would be a perfect opportunity for Governor Rauner to meet with President Trump and to actually try to get more federal money for the state of Illinois. We need to look at all options. I have no problem fighting hard for Illinois. We have two senators who claim they want to get more money, and we have a Republican delegation that's committed to the same thing. So, during this hospital assessment tax, which again is rewriting the way that funding of Medicaid occurs in the state, it's very, very significant. We could see an announcement or a compromise that over the next couple of weeks. This is another example that because Governor Rauner won't even say President Trump's name, won't even meet with them, that we could get shortchanged.
Well, and to do this hospital assessment, this tax on hospitals that helps helps generate money for federal funding for health care, that's a waiver process. If you don't know somebody in the administration, and waivers take a long time to accomplish.
And the administration has said very clearly that they want states to come in with waivers. They want states to come up with innovative programs, and many other governors of other states are pursuing those to save money, to actually improve care in a lot of cases. But to have a basic relationship with the President of the United States, especially as a Republican governor, would be a positive thing. But as you know, I think you were the first person to report it. Remember, Governor Rauner wouldn't even endorse the Republican nominee for president at that point. They made a big deal about that. So when you won't even say the president's name, you won't endorse him against a Democrat, I think that hurts the state as a Republican governor. And we're seeing that, I think, with this hospital assessment tax. We're seeing this in this mess overall in Medicaid, as the audit showed, and monitoring. We should be working very, very closely with the federal government to make sure we have proper controls in place and that we're getting not only our fair share, but that we're getting more federal money for the state of Illinois.
Another issue that came up last week was the kind of details from an unsealing of a lawsuit from a business partner of the governor saying that in a dispute over an investment, how they met at the governor's mansion to talk this over. Even though the governor has claimed that all of his finances are in a blind trust, which we know was never really a blind trust. It was a power of attorney, as we reported in the Tribune. But the fact that every question dealing about his business and which he still generates substantial income from, the answer is, well, it's a blind trust. I don't know what's going on. And then we find out that, well, actually, he was in negotiations with a business partner over a dispute. Here are questions, again, about transparency.
Well, the strangest part of that whole situation is it looks from, I've read a lot about the whole situation, it appears that he actually has a case to go to arbitration in this business deal. So let's put that aside. The issue is, though, why at a press conference just a couple months ago did he deny he knew anything about it? That's my issue, is on transparency. The governor could have just said, I have the power of attorney, I'm not involved in this, however, there is this one case that goes back before I was governor, and I'm dealing with it. That would have been a much better answer. It wouldn't have been the story. The story is really the cover-up here, in my view, and the cover-up being, you know, his denial that he knew anything about it. That's the strange thing about it, is it appears that his case is legitimate, that it should go through arbitration. It appears that for a lot of his investments, that of course he's using the power of attorney properly. If he had just simply answered the question and said that he's dealing with this situation, I don't think it would have been an issue at all. But now the issue is, why did he tell everybody he knew nothing about it?
Well, and are there other instances?
And that's what we need to find out. In fact, you know, you've got a mess on both sides. You've got a mess, obviously, right now with the governor needing to explain his comments a couple months ago. And there's a lot of focus on J.B. Pritzker's finances at this point. And so I think we're going to be dealing with a situation here before the primary that the voters are going to be demanding answers from all politicians about exactly if there are conflicts of interest and where things stand.
We talk a lot about the mood of the electorate, and you know, here we are less than 2 months away from the primary, and obviously, you know, the Democratic big field for governor, big field for attorney general, some big fields for congressional races out there. And we'll see what the kind of the temperature spirit is among Democrats. But I guess I'm kind of curious, what is the enthusiasm quotient for Republicans?
Well, I think all citizens of this state, I think, are concerned about the future. And what I hear most is that people want to leave the state because they're concerned about high taxation, they're concerned about what's going on in Springfield. And specifically on the Republican base, they're very concerned about what the future of the state is. There's a lot of people are losing hope. And when I talk to people not only in my district, but throughout the state, they want to see a positive plan. I mean, the national economy is booming right now, right? We're at 4.1% unemployment. We have 2.6% growth in GDP, and it should go to, you know, 3%. There's a lot overall positive, but in the state of Illinois, we're lagging and we're falling behind. And specifically, the biggest issue I hear about from my constituents over and over again is that they're sick and tired of high property taxes. They want to see local governments consolidated. They want to see property taxes cut. I think that's the number one issue right now.
And I would agree with you. And of course, obviously, with the focus that's been raised on issues like the fairness of the property assessment system and things like that. Since the bulk of property taxes go to schools, the only way to take some of that pressure off is to have the state pick up the slack, isn't it? And that would mean...
I think the biggest way we can cut property taxes, Rick, and that's one of the things I'm focusing on right now with a couple of bills, too, is to consolidate local governments. That's the biggest issue. Until we consolidate the 7,000 units of local government, until we start eliminating townships with voter approval that don't make sense, until we start allowing consolidation that makes sense with the school districts, we're going to have a big problem. So consolidation allows administrative costs to be cut. and it allows fundamental change. I think that's the key, is start reducing and eliminating layers of unnecessary local governments here in the state of Illinois. Cut administrative costs. That's the key to lower property taxes.
And how do you encourage that?
Well, it's specifically by voter approval. I mean, what I have done is I filed a number of bills, but the one I'm focused on specifically right now is to allow voter approval just to eliminate a township by a majority vote, to allow citizens to put that on the ballot and vote on it. I think that's the best way to start and to be able to do that eventually for all units of government, you know, a different mechanism, but to encourage consolidation is absolutely key. I mean, DuPage County, they started the process, then a little bit in Lake, a little bit in McHenry now, but not enough. Property taxes are still high. I think encouraging citizen participation and allowing citizens to decide whether to eliminate some of these units of government is the best way to do it.
That's Representative David McSweeney. He's a Republican from Barrington Hills. Representative, as always, thank you so much for joining me on the Sunday Spin.
Thank you, Rick.